Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Tes Zayin, the 116th Psalm in the book of Tehillim. This is a very powerful Mizmor. It is part of our Hallel, and so we're very much still in that idea. We're in that theme of Hallel, thanksgiving and uplifting, although there's a darker side to this Mizmor. Let's take a quick look at our Mizmor. This starts with the words, Ohavti ki yishma Hashem is kali tachadonai. This is the 19 psukim of this Mizmor, divided into roughly three sections. The first four psukim, Aleph to Dalet, or a call out to Hashem in pain. At this point in time, the narrator is talking to Hashem how a person is surrounded by the pangs of death, and he is completely surrounded, and he calls out to Hashem to save him. The next and main section is Hey to Yud Aleph, the 5th to 11th Pasuk, where he talks about the mercy of Hashem who saves him from his situations. Hashem guards him from all these terrible troubles, even though he may not be worthy of it or understand them. And then finally, the last section, which is usually a different paragraph in our Hallel, is Mahashiv LaHashem Kol Tagmuloi Eloi, is a paying back of the debt to Hashem and publicly showing thanksgiving to Hashem. The theme of this Mizmor is very clearly a person, a narrator, who was in a predicament, and he was saved from that predicament by trusting in Hashem and now wants to pay back to Hashem. It is not clear when this Mizmor is actually occurring. Do we say that this is occurring at the time of trouble in the predicament itself? And the person is describing in graphic detail the predicament and hoping and wishing for a time when he can show thanksgiving in the future? Or do we say no, he has actually already been saved and he's now talking about the salvation and he's putting himself back into that perspective of that terrible trauma of the situation then? It seems from the fact that this is used as part of the Hallel that in fact this is the latter of the two options, that the person has already finished, has come through the predicament successfully, and at such point in time, is describing that predicament again from the perspective of a person who has been saved. It is worthwhile noting that this is a paragraph which is split up in Hallel, like the one beforehand, like Kuf Tes Vav, where we just saw beforehand. This is one of the areas in which the Hallel splits it up into two sections, or two paragraphs. What we commonly call this is half Hallel, which means to say is that on a day like Rosh Chodesh, or the last days of Pesach as an example, we omit the first half of Mizmor Kuf Tes Vav and Mizmor Kuf Tes Zayin, 115 and 116, thereby bridging the Hallel. Part of the reason for this is to denote, to distinguish between the days where we really say Hallel to thank Hashem and the days where it is less of a tradition. So for instance, the reason why we say it on Rosh Chodesh is to denote and to make mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu running this world as it is expressed in the realm of time. And there's 12 Hallelukas mentioned in the Hallel, which reflect the 12 months of the year. So Rosh Chodesh is a time to say Hallel, but not at the same gradation, not at the same level as the other times, other Yomim Tovim, we say Hallel. The last days of Pesach are a little more somber because we witnessed the destruction of the Egyptian army, the destruction of human life, which in a certain sense tempers our simcha. And therefore, we don't say the full Hallel. It isn't exactly half Hallel, it's really 80-85% of the Hallel. The reason why we leave out these two half paragraphs, the suggestion is made that it is because the Mizmor itself as a whole, the theme of the Mizmor as a whole, is intact, even though we leave out the first and the second half. The first half of Kuf Tes Vav and Kuf Tes Zayin. That's what the Midrash, or the Eliyahu Rabba says in Tav Chof Beis Yud Beis. What is interesting is just my own personal perspective is that, you know, it is interesting to see that when you add in the first half of each of the two Mizmorim, the first half is actually much more somber of the two Mizmorim. The first half of Kuf Tes Vav and the first half of Kuf Tes Zayin, 115 and 116, is actually more complex. And it's interesting, on days where we have fuller celebrations, we add the complexity back into life. So real celebration is being able to see the full gamut of emotions and experience rather than actually putting it under the carpet, where there's a lesser day of celebration. We don't have the time, perhaps, to be able to appreciate the lows and the highs and the complexity of relationships, which is just a perspective of the Hallel that we expressed on Rosh Chodesh and the last days of Pesach. It is interesting that in terms of events behind this Mizmor, Rashi immediately points out at the beginning of this Mizmor that when he talks about Afafuni Chevele Mavetz Mitzarei Shaol Mitzauni, I was surrounded, I was encaptured, he says this refers to David HaMelech. David HaMelech said this Mizmor in Tehillim when Shaol HaMelech died. After finally he pursued and relentlessly he was persecuted for no reason, for no real good reason. After that went away, he was able to say this Mizmor, and that's what he's expressing. I mean, it's interesting, though, that the Radak says a very fascinating insight. He quotes the Medrash over here, and it says that when the powerful pasuk where he says, "Ani amarti bechofsi kol adam, kol ha'adam kozev," I said in my haste that all people are deceitful, it refers to a specific event which occurs in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chav Gimel, in which David HaMelech was being chased by Shaul. He was deceived. He was betrayed by some people. To Shaul, the Zifim told Shaul HaMelech that he was around, and Shaul HaMelech made a flash movement down to the south and was so close to actually getting David HaMelech. David HaMelech was caught on the top of a hill. Shaul's forces were on all sides of the hill. If Shaul had a few more minutes, he would have actually captured David. What ended up happening was that David HaMelech was able to escape the hill because there was a attack by the enemies, by the Plishtim, to which Shaul HaMelech left. But he was so close. David HaMelech, this was the closest David ever had to being captured and ultimately killed. And at such a point, David HaMelech relates, says the Radak, "Ani amarti bechofsi kol ha'adam kozev," that he said essentially, "Heichon," he said, "Afilu Shmuel, heichon hi oisa haftocho sh'amali." At that moment, David HaMelech said at the top of that hill, as Shaul's forces were clamoring to get him and he was betrayed by those who should have been protecting him, the David HaMelech said, "You know what? Every person is deceiving me. Even Shmuel, who anointed me and said I would be king, is he really around? Where is he? Where is his promise? There's no way to understand this." And this is what David HaMelech said, and he recalls back to the moment in his predicament how desperate he felt at that moment in time. And that's what he says. It's interesting that the Abarbanel in his Haggadah called Zevach Pesach, in which he comments on this paragraph in Tehillim, because he's commenting on the Haggadah, and this paragraph appears in the Tehillim, in the Hallel, which is said on the Leil HaSeder. He goes on to say that David HaMelech is really actually a model just for all of us. And the Baronel, having witnessed the Spanish Inquisition, having witnessed the Spanish expulsion, and negotiated with Ferdinand and Isabella to be able to relinquish the Jews from that suffering unsuccessfully, the Baronel describes, and he says the following. He says, "Rotzolamar," he says, "this is all of us. Kol anavim shinibu." He says, all the prophets who talked about the Yeshuas, "Kulam koizim lechashiyavar katsir kol akayitz v'anachnu lo nashanu." We look over the thousands of years, and we've been persecuted, we've been murdered, without any accounting. He says, and we said, "Lo nashanu kozav Moshe Rabbeinu b'Yehudav, kozav Yeshayahu b'Minech Masov, kozav Yirmiyahu v'Yecheskel b'Nevuasayhem, v'chei shehashar neviim." All the prophets, at a certain point, we said are false. We looked at the Jewish history and said, "Hashem, is it possible that you really meant this? What about all the nevuas you said about us? It doesn't make sense. It's not adding up." And that's what, in the same way, David HaMelech, in his state, when he was caught on top of that hill, turned to Hashem and said, "Kol ha'adam kozev," all the prophecies are false. We have moments in our Jewish history where we also say, "Kol ha'adam kozev," even the prophets were false. But that's because we're in haste, because we're still in the middle of the story, and we don't have the full perspective like David had when Shaul died, that ultimately he would be saved, and there was a purpose for going through it. And similarly, we as a Jew in Jewish history, we're not at the end of Jewish history. And there's moments at the top of the hill where we feel that, but ultimately we know, like David HaMelech, that we will be saved. In terms of the places in our tefillah this appears, of course this is part of our Hallel and part of the half Hallel, as we talked about just a moment ago. It's also interesting to notice that Pasuk Yud Gimel Kois Yeshuos Esau V'Shem Hashem Ekra, I will lift up the cup of salvations and call out in the name of God, which is part of the third part of this Mizmor, is to be found in the Havdalah, and some of the Minhag to lift up the cup, as one says this, in fact, very beautiful idea as we start the week. In terms of words or psukim in the spotlight, Pasuk Vov is a very fascinating Pasuk in Halacha. It is Shomer Psoim Hashem. Hashem guards those who are fools, those who don't know any better. In Halacha, this is a very fascinating description where the Gemara talks about certain ideas or certain places came into Doshu Bei Rabim when people frequent a certain danger, something which does require a certain amount of risk. The person is allowed to engage in that activity because Shomer Psoim Hashem. Hashem will guard those who are fools in certain situations when people usually do that. So people drive cars, even though they're very high risk of accidents on the road per capita. Nonetheless, Shomer Psoim Hashem, there's certain times where we apply this law, Lahalach, a very fascinating sugya in and of itself, and where we apply it and how we apply it. Let's take a quick look at a Pasuk Yutes Zion, Ona Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha. It's a very fascinating story where a fellow comes to the Gera Rebbe and he comes to him on the night of the Yom Tov, he says, "Rebbe, I've had such a difficult half a year. The family, the health, the parnasa, everything, Rebbe, I'm tzibrochet, I have so many problems." The Rebbe says, "Well, you know what? I have a suggestion. Tomorrow when you say Hallel, I want you to give extra special kavanah when you say Ana Hashem. When you say please Hashem. And so the Chassidim were all listening, they're all listening in, as the Rebbe said this to this poor Jew. And the problem was they weren't sure which Ana Hashem it was. They weren't sure if it was Ana Hashem or Shiana. Please Hashem, save me. Ana Hashem Atzlichono. Ana Hashem makes me successful. So the next day in the Beis Midrash, Hallel was being said, and half the Beis Midrash shouted very, very loudly, Ana Hashem Oshiyana. And the other half of the Beis Midrash shouted very, very loudly, Ana Hashem Atzlichono, because each side thought it was that Ana Hashem. And then suddenly, finally, had the gumption to go up to the Rebbe afterwards, and they went to the Ger Rebbe, and they said, Rebbe, which of the Ana Hashems do you really mean? Everybody's this machlokes. And he laughed when he heard this, and he said, no, I wasn't talking about either of those. I was talking about Mizmor Kuftes Zayin, 116, which is actually just beforehand in Hallel. This is our Mizmor. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. I wasn't talking about saying, please Hashem, help me. Please Hashem, make me successful. It says, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. I'm your servant, Hashem. That's the way we get HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're willing to sublimate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when success will come. Rav Osher Weiss, I once heard, pointed out when he mentioned this beautiful story, he pointed out, just a couple of years ago when I was at a certain Yerach Yikala with him, Rav Osher Weiss points out that Ana Hashem in our Mizmor is actually not spelled the same as Ana Hashem Hashiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Ana Hashem Hashiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana is spelled Aleph Nun Aleph, which means please Hashem, it's pleading. In our Mizmor, it's Ana Hashem, which is Aleph Nun Hey, which actually means thank you. If you look at the Mitzvot, it means, thank you, Hashem, for making me the servant. Thank you for giving me the opportunity of direction in life. Thank you for giving me a yoke. Thank you for giving me a mission in life. Thank you. That's what the Ger Rebbe was saying. Last pasuk in the spotlight, that's the last three pesukim of the Mizmor, where the Netziv points out in the Torah, in Vayikra, Perek, Zayin, Pasuk, Yud Gimel, very fascinating halachic nuance, and that is that if you look at all the karbanos, the shlamim is a karban which comes with a number of parts of the karban can be eaten, and usually it comes with a number of menachos, of meal offerings. What is fascinating is that the karban toida, the Thanksgiving sacrifice, comes with 40 loaves of bread, four different types, 10 loaves per type, and they have to be consumed within a day and a night. And the Netziv points out in a very beautiful way of stating it, he says, Ribo hakoso velechem umiet bizman, that the pasuk gives us a lot more bread than any other korban to be eaten with it, and less time to eat it than any other korban. Which means to say, you have to finish all of this within that amount of time, and there's an issur of leaving it over. You can't make it noisar, you don't want to make it something which is left over, and therefore not halachically acceptable to be eaten. So why is that? Why is it constructed that way? Because if you are bringing a Thanksgiving offering, it means to say that you went through something harrowing in your life, something which was very difficult, and you came through it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to be able to eat this with a certain amount of bread within a certain fixed time. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you make a big meal and you invite all your friends and family. And therefore, by perforce, says the Netziv, you're forced to share the salvation that you went through. You're forced to share the harrowing circumstance and how you came through it. That is what this Korban Torah actually reflects. And says the Netziv in the Herchev Dover, which is his footnotes to his Ha'emek Dover on the Torah, whenever you read the Herchev Dover, it is always on Tanakh, on the rest of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, not the Torah itself. That's why he puts them in the footnotes and not in the actual text itself. Take that as a rule and check it out and see how that works. And he says, that's exactly what we're saying in our Mizmor here. Why is it that we say at the end of this Mizmor, I'm going to tell it. Negda means to tell, from the word Haggadah. I'm going to tell it to the whole people. Why is that? Because to bring a Korban Toda, I'm going to bring my Zevach Toda in and call out in the courtyards of Yerushalayim. Not because I'm limited only to those places, but because I'm going to be forced to tell about my salvation. The more I'm forced to talk about Hashem, the more Hashem will be as part of my life and a part of the lives of other people. It's a responsibility when we go through experiences to be able to tell the rest of the world, to be able to sing the praises of Hashem and to invite them into the conversation. That's what Ami's body is saying. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.